more. Baby, it's not mine. I chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make the heaven the middle of it. Rest make the heaven the middle. We are. Rest make the heaven the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to our program. I'm George Butler. With me for this special interview is Ole Dummegoord. Welcome to our program, Ole Dummegoord. This Bilderberg meeting is going to start.
If he is the word.
Yeah. And they've got four people on the staff of Trump are at that Bilderberg meeting.
I tell you, George, this year I haven't really followed the Bilderberg meeting. What I know, though, is that more or less every year before the meeting, about a week or so before, they pull off a false flag as a diversion. And this year we had on the anniversary of the which we had this Manchester attack. So it just follows the exact date and everything. So it's a part of how they operate.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Boy, I tell you. We have the Bilderberg meeting came back to Virginia.
Yeah. It's the fourth time. It's the only place that they've gone more than once, as far as I know. But now there have been four times at the Marriott Hotel in Chantilly, Virginia.
Well, the National Spatial, Geospatial is close by, and all the CIA and all that NSA is within driving distance. See, so that's why I think they're there.
Sounds very possible, that I must say. I wasn't aware of that, but it just fits the whole thing.
Yeah, you got all the Washington D.C. politicians close by and all that other stuff. But anyway, I was going to get together a group maybe with Charlie Skelton on Saturday sometime, but I didn't know if you wanted to participate in that or not, you know, in the Bilderberg meeting type thing, discussion.
It's like I don't know if I would be able to bring so much along. I was a speaker outside the Bilderberg meeting 2014 in Copenhagen,
right?
Where I managed to expose a planned false flag massacre there and stop it as well, if I was correct. And so I have a very personal relationship with this group, I must say. Very strange experience to stand and give a public talk right outside the hotel where they were gathering inside.
Right.
So it was almost like the light and the dark
right.
was meeting in a strange way.
Do you see any event around Chantilly maybe going on possibly during this Bilderberg or not?
I think they already pulled that one off in Manchester as a diversion.
Okay. That coincides with the right at the beginning, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like just like in was it 2013, I believe, the so-called beheading in Woolwich in central London was just a week before when they had the meeting in Watford, northeast of London. So they do it more or less on the clock every year when they have a meeting. They pull a diversion off. It's the same old trick. It's like a magician, you know. They're up to something, boom, a smoke bomb goes off over there. So everybody turns their head and look in that direction while the actual action is going on over here. And that's how they do it. So they're trying to play us, but I think they're getting very desperate by now.
Is that what you see? They're a little desperate about Well, you know, some of the topics that they're covering have seemed to be they're wary of populism and things like that.
They're wary of what? Populism.
Yeah, populism. That's on their that's on their list. Why is populism growing?
What does that mean?
Why is populism growing? They're against it. They're against the population catching on. They're wary of the population waking up.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that. That just shows that you and I and many others are doing a good job.
Right. That's good. They also have the war on information is one of their topics. Now that's a dangerous thing. You right, huh? And Ofcom, the head of Ofcom out of Britain is there this time. And that's the regulatory of communications in UK, I think. Ofcom.
Yeah, but what they're actually talking about is to suppressing the truth.
Yes.
To stop the truth from getting out there. That is what I'm saying. If they were not worried about it. But we are right behind them, you know, putting a torch up their butt. So, like in a few years ago, they were very arrogant when they came to these meetings. They didn't care if there were people taking photos of them and so on. Last year, they were running to the airport like scared chickens, you know. So, I think the thing is also, I mean, millions of people are waking up, even though most people think, no, it's only me. I tell you, there's a massive awakening going on. And this group, I mean, when normal people start seeing how few they really are and how many we are, they have a reason to be afraid, you know, because where are they going to hide? And normal people, when they get angry, they have a very ugly tendency to get into lynch times, which is totally against what I believe in, but I can understand the fear of these players.
Right. You're right. Now, the number one topic that they have on their list is the Trump administration, a progress report. So they still have him as a target. What do you think?
I tell you, there's so many weird things around Trump, and especially when he went to say hello to Netanyahu and
yes.
He made this massive weapon deal with Saudi, and he was with the Pope. I mean, these are main players in this mayhem. So, in my book, he totally gave it away there. It's I don't trust him as far as I can spit.
Well, with four people from his staff at the Bilderberg, then that sort of smells, doesn't it? Huh?
I mean, how obvious.
Yeah, how obvious. And they're there, and the head of the National Security Council is there, McMaster, being controlled by Petraeus, and he's there too.
So?
It's getting obvious,
I mean,
isn't it?
What else is
new? Right?
Yeah, did you last see a politician that you could trust?
Yeah. Well, oh, man.
The way I see it, the last politician that was trustworthy that I know of was JFK, and he ended up 6 foot under.
Right, right.
Because he was a strong individual.
Exactly.
All of the rest ones have just been another pretty face on a flossy, glossy cover, you know.
Right, exactly.
So,
are you anticipating any?
I would have.
Go ahead. You know what now?
There, if Trump had, these people are being prepared for this role. I feel it's almost like they have a chessboard, and depending on the development in the world, they just bring forward whatever player is best for them. So when they needed a black guy, in came Obama to unify all the races and minorities, and then came Trump to get. You know, they diverted it with Hillary, so nobody really looked at Trump. They just wanted to get rid of Hillary, and that's how they play us. And then, but it's all the time their guy in the White House, because they wouldn't let anyone in there, except, I mean, they changed the front figure, but it's still the same power structure behind it.
Right. We're still knocking on the door of Iran and North Korea and all that, you know?
Nothing has changed.
just a, you know, they just the rhetoric a little bit, but the policies are about the same, what you're saying, huh?
I'm not into politics at all, so I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't even look at it, because as far as I, politics equals lies. They will tell you whatever you want to hear and then do whatever they want to do behind your back. So I am so not interested. Also, I've been told by many insiders that to get up to a certain level when it starts making a difference,
right,
you have to corrupt yourself. Otherwise, you won't get up there. So the people we are watching, all of them, are not people that you can trust at all. They have a hidden agenda. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Oli. I was looking at some of the Wikipedia write-ups on some of those people. There's always a financial scandal in their backgrounds or something like that in most of them, you know?
But not only have they... I mean, to get up to that position, the people behind the dark veils of the of power,
yeah,
or they have them by the balls where they can control them. So they will have them, you know, like maybe they've been part of some sex thing, you know, been invited. Oh, we got all the drugs, the hook.
Right.
Because
right.
Whatever you want, you know, welcome into with the big boys. But what people have not been aware of, that there are cameras everywhere and everything has been recorded and then to be used against
them. Honeypot and traps, yeah, for blackmail. Blackmail traps. Yeah.
Yeah. There. So they look for the weak points and then they handpick who they want in their gang. They handpick them. They go through these different Freemasonic rituals or whatever different ways they find the weak spots, and they just hit them there. And once they can control them, they really got them by the balls, then they're allowed to go up in the ranks. But by then, they're totally owned. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, if you really get up there on your own, you are dead meat very quickly if you're the real thing.
Right.
And also, as far as I remember, Trump was saying the first 100 days he would just turn the whole thing around. But the only thing I've seen created is chaos.
Well,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm.
Say that again.
Didn't Trump say that within the first 100 days he would just turn, you know, like so many massive differences he
right,
would put them in
right,
place?
Right, right.
But the only thing that I've seen is that he's created a lot of chaos. There's chaos all around him.
Yeah.
So, but that is also part of the New World Order, you know.
Yeah, he's surrounded by all these neocons.
What's going on.
Yeah, he's surrounded by all these neocons and all these Council on Foreign Relations and all these Bilderbergers and Goldman Sachs and all and stuff now. They're just all around him. They're all in his administration.
So if all of these people were mafia, would you be surprised if he was involved with the mafia, if everyone else
exactly, exactly. Right, right. Good point.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why people get so surprised, because it's sort of like you just have to look at it and say, okay, then he's in. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. So, once again, I do not trust him as far as I can spit, poetically put.
Right. Have you done anything interesting? But, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I made an interview a while ago, and there was this guy who said that the exact opposite to politics is spirituality. I thought that was really interesting, because spirituality stands for all the beautiful ethic, moral things like non-greed, non-violence, no lies, truthfulness, all of these things. And then the exact opposite is politics. I thought that was very, very, very good observation. And that also is why I've never voted. I've never listened to politicians. In my opinion, total waste of time. And that if you wait for the change to come from that direction, you will wait forever. We need to be the change, you know.
Right. Well, there's one, Terrence McAuliffe, that's being, that's at the Bilderberg meeting. We'll be there. He's the, governor of Virginia. And they always invite those people, like you're saying, to elevate later, you know. You're looking at them for future power, yeah.
That's why they're invited. They invited, and then it was like Bill Clinton. He came, he was a low life drug dealer as a governor in Arkansas, being part of the whole Iran-Contras, weapons out, massive amounts of drugs in, totally involved with Bush Sr. And then they thought, oh, he looks good. He met Kennedy once when he was young. He's got the looks. He can talk. He can behave himself. Let's just get this guy on. And he was invited, I think, was it, I can't remember the year, 91, invited to the Bilderberg meeting. And 2 years later, I believe he was the president of the United States. How did that happen?
Right.
Tony Blair, the same thing.
They're kingmakers, the Bilderberg is.
He got invited. That's where the real decisions are made in these groups, the Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, and then, of course, there are higher powers than that. But that is where a lot of the real thing is going on. These, where we think that, oh, I'm going to vote for this guy, I vote for that guy, that is just so outdated. These individuals are selected for us to choose from. But whoever we choose will just be another arm from the same body. So it's like choosing an octopus. Which tentacle do you want to choose? You still got the same octopus.
Exactly. They're just multiple tentacles. That's a good, that's a good analogy of that. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to...
And then we get so confused.
What?
Then we get so confused when nothing changes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm writing a book on delusion, okay? And we're tricked into thinking the wrong things usually. See what I mean?
I totally see what you mean. So it's come to a point today where everything is so upside down.
Yeah.
So what I normally do is, if I don't understand something, I just change the name of whatever organization or company or whatever it is, turn it 180 degree and just see, does it make sense now? And more or less always it does.
Oh my God! Yeah. Okay.
Child protection. This and that. No. Turn it 180 degrees. No, absolutely not. These are the people that are kidnapping the children. You know, and things that are there for our protection. Absolutely not. They're there for our enslavement. The White House, the Satanic House, the Defense Ministry. Absolutely not. It's brutal attack, murder, killing, slaughter department.
Right.
And so on. Turn it around. Operation Freedom, absolutely not. Operation Enslavement. Operation Stardust, Operation Kill and Rape.
Right.
You know, turn it 180 degrees around. People, all the health thing is there to destroy your health. Hospitals, all of these things. The whole system has been changed by these forces.
Yep.
Media, there to inform you. No, it's propaganda.
You know,
turn it around and you will see the truth.
You know, that is a good idea, a good view. The Defense Department in this country used to be called the War Department.
See
what I mean?
Correct,
that is
a correct name.
Yeah, they changed it to Defense Department. So to hide it, or like you're saying, you know, it's opposite. Right.
But this is also all these American soldiers and so on that are joining the army to go out in the world and liberate in the name of freedom and democracy. Absolute boxes, brutal enforcers, hired killers, assassins for big corporations and the elite fuse, unstoppable greed. An appetite for death and violence, oil, drugs, pedophile trafficking, organ trafficking, weapons. That's the name of the game. So it's very, very sad how these people that join the military, join the police forces, SWAT teams and so on, thinking that they're doing the right thing, are being used in the total opposite way to control and demonize the population. So time to wake up. If you're in uniform, please inform yourself what's going on, and understand that the people in power positions above you have no loyalty for you. You are just an empty uniform. One, when they don't need you anymore, you're out. They do not care about you. If you don't trust me or believe me, look at the homeless people in the streets, former veterans that have just been destroyed, all of the suicide among soldiers that have come home, if there was a commander that cared about his soldiers, that cared and thought that you sacrificed the arms and legs for your country, they would be brought home as heroes, or somebody that should be respected, that had really made some big thing for their nation. But how they treat it, like absolute dirt, and come home after being experimented with super many cocktails of horrible drugs, with depleted uranium in the ammunition, depleted uranium inside or on the tanks are made of these things, so that they have all of these weird kind of symptoms and diseases. And what is that? That shows you the people in so-called power, no morals, no human qualities that is worth respect at all. Their only talents are they can betray you, they can stab you in the back, they can smile while they're killing, even though they don't do the killing themselves. They don't have the guts to do that. And they can lie and cheat and steal. That's their talents. That's about it. But they look nice on, because they've got fancy suits and bodyguards and nice cars and an American flag on the limo. That's the only talent they have. So it's time to turn it around and just say, listen, it's not on anymore. We see you. We see what you're up to, and we are fed up. It is enough. It is enough. Game over. Stop it. And all of these ridiculous false flags you're carrying out, the quality is crap. Not even you can be proud of it. So give it up. Give it up. And as a peace offering, how about paying back some of these trillions of dollars that you have cheated normal people from, invested in hospitals, daycare centers, children, hospitals for elderly people, put the money back where they belong, and also all of these patents that you've stolen and suppressed, give it to them, to humanity. Free energy devices, all of these things. Bring back the soldiers. I mean, there's a reason why people are throwing rocks at American soldiers when they come to liberate the countries. According to Chip Tatum, the CIA whistleblower, he spent his whole career in the military, also on a very high rank as an assassin and so on to George Bush Sr., he says that the American army is the terror tool in the world. The terror tool in the world. And I totally agree with him. So, time to wake up, George. Wakey, wakey.
Right. Boy, that was good. That was great. You spoke very well about that. What impacted your life more than anything, Ole, in the past? I know you travel widely all over, did you not? Were there some very poignant experiences you had that really, because you're more of a humanitarian type person with your love and all that than anything that I can perceive there. What sort of awoken you, to all of that, to that humanitarian love side of your personality and your being?
I think it's been a long process. I think I've always had it in me, but one thing more than any was when I, in 1984, I took an old bicycle and I went on my own from Sweden down through Europe and ended up in Iran in the middle of the war between Iran and Iraq.
My God!
I don't know. I must have taken the wrong way. I couldn't read the signs very well. But anyway, I ended up down there in some strange way. I really feel that some higher force was pulling me in there. And, I mean, it was right in the middle of the war. They were bombing. There were soldiers everywhere. There were patrols. There were, very, very scary. And I was afraid of the country anyway, because I thought, That is a nation filled with fanatic Muslims running around screaming Allah Akbar, shooting each other. That was my impression.
Oh my God.
But what I found instead was that I found the most beautiful people in a very extreme and very, very hard situation, you know, that was just doing everything they could to cope and to take care of each other in this very extreme situation. And I tell you, I fell in love with some of these people down there. I mean, there was horrible people also that were so damaged by the war and all of these horrific events that was happening down there. Plus also, in situations like that, you see what you're made of. You see in a situation like that where there is a possibility for a dictator to have his army and torturers and so on, you will see what type of person that are drawn into that and are willing to sell their soul for some power or get a high from shooting someone. I don't know. I don't get it at all. But so I saw the whole spectrum much, much more visible than back home in Sweden, where everything was sort of put in cotton. And while I was down there, the borders were shut. They didn't let people in. They were trying to stop people from escaping. You know, the borders
right.
were closed. But somehow I managed to get in. And once I met this Iranian family that I just fell in love with them, and to see how it turned out that we were exactly the same. It was just that I had a passport and I had blonde hair, and they had a passport and black hair, and their passport was not welcome anywhere in the world, and I had the opportunity with my passport to go back, just because of that they ended up in the political game where suddenly the oil made the difference, that they were the targeted ones. They were in a situation that was absolute hell on earth. So then one of my new friends down there got murdered. He was stabbed down by a soldier in the street. And just by thinking with a free mind, just like you and I do, that was seen as treason down there, as a major threat. And people like you and I were being mass arrested and mass executed on a daily basis in the thousands. So it was very, very scary. And when he was killed, then his brother and his best friend feared for their life, because they thought that they were next, because they were people just like you and I. So I decided I need to do something here. So I offered to smuggle one of them out through former Russia, East Germany, up to Sweden. It took us about a month to plan it. I've written the whole story in a book called Shadow of Tears. It's the true story with photos. Everything is there. And in the end, we managed to get out of Iran into Russia. From Russia to East Berlin, from East Berlin up through East Germany up to Sweden, where he was first deported, but they wanted to deport him. But thanks to me being a journalist in a small town, I knew some police officers there, and there was this fantastic policewoman who was working for immigration, and she managed to stop this deportation of him. So we managed to get him asylum in Sweden. He's now a heart specialist in Sweden with a family.
Holy, that is, that's a wonderful thing you did. You know that?
I know, George, and I feel very good when I talk about it, and feel, you know, because we managed to get seven out in total, two to Canada and the rest to Sweden, and it's amazing. My old bicycle have made so that children have been born, you know, because
my gosh, man.
Yeah. So
from the throes of war to the operating room, right? You know what I mean?
No, but
what?
But for me it was like I grew up with like walls inside of me, you know, a smiling face, but concrete walls inside of me. I couldn't get in touch with my soul, with my feelings and so on. And Sweden was too soft. it didn't do it for me. So I think that was why I was subconsciously drawn to war zones. And I got in there, and it was like swallowing a stick of dynamite, and it just blew me up from the inside.
Right.
So it took me several years to recover once I got back, because I mean we were the whole smuggling thing and getting, I mean, it was our nerves were just a mess, you know. And then I spent a few years in Sweden as a teacher for Iranian refugees coming to Sweden, also trying to go around in schools and churches and communities, informing people what was actually going on down there, that these people were leaving absolute hell just trying to find somewhere to breathe. And so for me, I think that was the thing that has affected me the most when it comes to opening up my heart, and also not to point the judgmental fingers at other people, and also see that, my God, we are really the same, you know, black hair, blonde hair,
right.
black skin, light skin, green skin, purple, Sikh, Muslim, whatever. When you look at a normal person in the street, they are really normally nice people who just want the same. Everybody wants to be happy, and they want to be able to take care of their family. They want good education for their kids. They want a party now and then. They want some good friends. And just be left in peace and be able to get on with their creativity and do whatever they are created to do. Follow the goosebumps in their life, the inspiration that inspires them, if they want to be a chef or a hockey pro or whatever it is. It's so individual. But we're up against this force that is trying to just crush us into one little unit that will not be able to move at all and just sit in a dark dungeon, and that's just not okay with me. So that's why I devoted my life to do this instead.
So Light on Conspiracies is a means by which a platform to expand the your view and your philosophies and your love for your fellow man, right?
It was my sweetheart who came up with the name Light on Conspiracies. I just think it's absolutely incredibly good, because that is exactly what I try to do. Absolute, fearless, caring love, but into the darkest of the darkest corner in the belly of the beast. And just let the truth do the work, and totally non-violent, but fearless following the truth wherever it will take me. And so far so good.
You've recently traveled to some of the former Eastern Bloc countries there. They're really beginning to wake up, aren't they, in those countries under a long communist domination?
The thing is, they know what it's like when to be controlled by a massive force, so they're scared of getting back into it. I mean, they're so happy to be out in the free, and then boom, here they are again when they can see that their gates are getting closer and closer. So I feel that they're very interested, at least. And I've just before you called me, I did a 2.5 hour interview with Czech radio and TV.
Okay.
And I've just been I'm going to go to the conference in Prague in July in the Czech Republic. I was in Poland and Warsaw just a few weeks ago.
Right.
I was in Estonia, in Tallinn, giving a lecture there. I tell you, I was in, I don't know, but I did 14 flights in 1 month.
Oh, my
God. So
gosh.
That was a lot.
Boy, and you wound up down in South Africa and flew back from there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I was in France as well, and in Denmark and Sweden.
My gosh.
I'm coming to the States. I'm coming to New York in October, I think.
Oh, good.
I've been invited to a conference there, so.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well,
so maybe I'll see you there.
Well, I'll try to get together with you then when you come. But I really appreciate you, you know, giving us a glimpse of some of your past, you know, experiences. And they're very beautiful experiences, Ole.
Through pain, sometimes beauty comes. I mean, you have, if you've managed to go through pain and just burn just like, you know, gold, the more you burn gold, and the impurities burn away.
Right.
The purer and more beautiful it comes, but it's very painful sometimes. And, these things that happened in Iran with me, that was, I mean, extremely painful.
So you were traumatized through those experiences, and it took you years to get over that, those traumatic experiences, right?
I wrote the book as you know, I couldn't sleep at night, and
right.
So I wrote the book. I didn't think about writing a book. I was just writing these things. I was so afraid of forgetting stuff, so I was just writing it down for my own sake. And then in the end, I had this massive stack of papers, and I thought, well, I might as well just glue them together. And
right.
And so I made this book, and I've been trying for years to make a film out of it, because I think it can, the story that happened there is so much bigger than us that was the,
I think so. That would be a beautiful screenplay and movie. I think so.
And we said it even when it happened, you know, somebody ought to make a movie out of this, because it's, for me, it's much bigger than politics or wars or stuff like that. It was a matter of building bridges between souls and hearts, and beyond color, skin, religion, nationality, all of these things. It was just a matter of helping each other, you know.
Exactly.
And let's get out of this horrific situation and create something beautiful on the other side. And it's very symbolic, because I feel it's the same situation we are in now. We're trying to get out of this situation so that we can create a new beautiful horizon instead. But it is painful at the moment. It is a painful birth. And we need to focus on our intention, not just on the problems, but also what are the intention with this whole thing. Because once we transcend this little group, I mean, when you look at it, when you look, it's there in the thousands, we are billions. So it's like less than a grain, that's how big they are compared to how many we are.
Right.
So that we are even noticing them is a bit of a joke, but it's just that they've inflated themselves to a size that is just like a massive big balloon, but it's methane gas inside it. You know, you pop the balloon and it just smells like an awful, horrible fart, and that's what it is.
Right. Well, I'm going to reserve a chapter for you up in my book for you, okay?
That's very kind of you.
Okay.
Very kind of you.
But I mean, because you've been through so much, but the focus of my book is delusion. So sort of think about that when you have some free time, what a good chapter would be, you know. But, you know, I'm working on it, trying to get it together.
Sounds great. But, listen,
yeah. You got to go.
Have I 1994?
Okay.
Sorry.
What's that?
I wrote a song in 1994 called "From Prison to Paradise."
Oh.
I don't know. Have I ever read the lyrics to you?
No, you haven't. Yeah.
Can I read it?
Yeah,
to you?
Read that to me. I'd like to hear
okay.
it. Yeah, you bet.
It goes like this.
You bet.
Okay. It goes like this. From prison to paradise. It was inspired after I met David Icke the first time.
Okay.
So it goes like this. Once upon a time, in a place not far from here, there was so much loneliness, despair, and oh, so much fear. Darkness ruled all over the land. There were lightning in the sky, causing wars and separation, with no one knowing why. These evil times raised leaders, disguised as kind and true, hiding the truth in misty fog so only very few people knew. Controlled by an elite few, manipulating you and me, closing out the light and power that can make us all be free. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake up now. Forced by invisible powers, demanded to conform into shapes unknown to mankind, making him totally abnormal. Drowned in debts and sorrows, blaming others for their lot, made man believe to be inferior, feeling tiny like a dot. But then came times of change, covering countries and their towns. Few became many, and soon the prison walls came down. Starting with the men in the mirror staring right back into their eyes, understanding that this was a chance to stop those hideous lies. Unhappiness is merely an illusion of misery, based on brainwash and a misconception of true reality. From now on, let's build bridges between our souls and hearts, so we together can rejoice when the final change comes to its start. Wake up, wake up, we gotta wake
up. Okay, boy.
Now. Turning prison into paradise seems too much to achieve, but believe me, it only takes one strong spirit to be free. The true power of a pyramid is never ever at the top. Instead, we the people that can make this global game stop. Did you get it? Wake up, we gotta wake up now.
Okay, that's beautiful, Oli. That is just marvelous. That's just so, and that really came out of all these experiences, didn't it? Huh?
Yeah, it was, but this was in 1994 or something that I wrote it, and I feel where we are now is, but then came times of change covering countries and their towns. This is where we are now. So, I tell you, I feel it won't be long until the prison walls comes down.
Well, that's, so, that's 23 years ago that you were foresighted with that. Yeah.
But the thing is, the very, very important thing, George, just like you also feel that how to deal with these things. And it needs to be done in a non-violent way. Otherwise, we have totally failed. If we use violence to overcome this minor bump in the road and destroy these people in violent ways, I think we have totally failed. And anyone who does that has betrayed me. Personally, I feel, if they've listened to anything I've said over the years, because violence is their way, it's their language, and if we use violence, it will just revolution, if you listen to the word revolution.
Right.
And it will just repeat itself. So here we are at in history where anything, but non-violently.
Right. I have something called AAA, Anonymous Actions Alone. Okay?
Anonymous Actions Alone.
Yes, AAA, Anonymous Actions Alone. You don't tell anyone, but you take actions for the good, and you expose the evil.
Sounds fantastic.
Huh?
And it also sounds to me like do random acts of kindness, but without expecting anything in return.
Yes.
Anonymous, beautiful things without telling anyone about it.
Yes.
Do it.
Yes. Yes.
It's beautiful, George. Beautiful.
But to overcome evil, you must not, because you do it alone, there's no, you can't be revealed through your actions that are going to be beautiful and good. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's basically what I came up with a few years ago.
Excellent. Can I bring it with me and
you bet. You,
use
I'll,
it something.
I'll send you the deal. There's a little video. You'll be able to see. It's a matrix, a power matrix, and you can combine those things and say them either way. Okay.
Excellent.
So you can say them in any order, and it's the same thing. Okay.
Fantastic.
But I'll send that to you, and I want you to write whenever you have time to write a chapter on for my book and. You know, I'll certainly, you know, treat you right on it and everything. But anyway, I mean, you've got to be part of my book. you just got such a beautiful philosophy. You know what I mean? We think so much
it's
alike, you know,
George.
But we're from two continents, but we became brothers, didn't we? Huh?
We did indeed.
And, so,
and I thought it was so amazing how after the conference when we went, I had no idea you were going to the airport, and you had no idea I was going to the airport. I came into a side entrance and just walked up, and we were walking side by side without having seen each other. What are the chances? That was just incredible.
It was.
You remember it?
I think it was God sent that we met, and we've got work to do, Oli. You know what I mean?
I'm doing, and so are you.
Yeah, and I think we've got some things to accomplish, and I think we can do some good for the world. Really do.
We're already doing everything we can.
Yeah, I'm doing not everything, but I'm doing as much as I can right now. And you're doing more than your share, that's for sure.
Listen, George, okay. Can I say if anybody wants to support me or in a fair exchange of energy, my website is lightonconspiracies.com.
Okay.
I've got books on Amazon, several books. Just go, my name, Oleg Damagard, there's The Shadow of Tekovat, and another one called Coup d'etat in Slow Motion.
Okay.
Part 1 and 2 about the assassination of Olof Palme, but with all the connections into the Iran-Contras, JFK assassination, many, many others of these. And also a kid's book called Yolanda Yogapanda, and a power book called Remind Me. But I'm just about to launch a podcast or a show on my own called Light on Conspiracy. It's going to
go
live in a few days, where I'm going to give people who don't have a voice normally, they're going to get them a chance to get their stories out there, especially people that have been crushed by the system and nobody's even noticing them.
Okay.
But also many people are from all over the world in many different areas. And also I have a newsletter, my membership on my website.
Okay.
Website and all donated because I'm a one-man band funded by no one. So,
well, I'm going to take all of these click-offs and put them together with this interview in on my site, so they'll all be there. Your click-offs and everything else, right? They can come straight to you and listen to this interview too. And
fantastic.
We'll get that done. Okay.
Sounds great, George.
But well, thanks for your time and all your hard work and everything, your dedication. Appreciate that.